back, and this is Tax Strategies with Mike Lee, CPA. I'd like to introduce you to Jeffrey Bean. He is the author of The Customer Experience Revolution. Left out a very important word earlier. It's The Customer Experience Revolution. How you doing, Jeff?
Good. Hey,
good,
thanks for having
again.
Me, Mike.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you. I think this will be an exciting segment of the program like the last one was. I think the first question I have for you is, what is the customer experience?
Well, that's a really great experience question, I should say. When people think about customer experience, particularly businesses, they have a tendency to think about it in a narrow way. But when Sean Van Tan and I interviewed a lot of the best companies we call experience makers, the aggregate view showed us that the customer experience is defined as people's interaction with or about a company's people, their processes, their messages, their products or services. And the with and about we found are very important because I can have a direct interaction with your products, services, processes, or people, or I can have it about. And I mean, in the old days, old school, it could be, I read a review or word of mouth. But now what happens is the about becomes even more important for your profitability and your brand because of social networking and social media, because immediately one person can get out to many people the experience that they've just had with any one of those pieces on what we call the customer experience continuum, all of those things. So,
got it. So the customer experience, basically, the way I see it, and I read the book quite a while ago. I thought it was an interesting read, and it taught me a few things. But what I see is, like, some of these companies, some of the winning-type companies like Starbucks, et cetera, they can charge extra, I think, for at least maybe I'm off base here, but how I see it is Starbucks is like an experience. You go in, The people greet you like they've known you, especially if you've been there a few times. So you feel a little bit better about paying, $4 for a cup of coffee than you would maybe at McDonald's paying $4 for a cup of coffee, where it's more in and out. Whereas at Starbucks, my experience is you'd like to go in, sit down, maybe have your meetings there. I mean, it's a whole deal with the customer experience that you have at Starbucks that you wouldn't have for the same cup of coffee, say, at McDonald's or another or a different coffee shop or something like that. So I feel like I think one thing about the customer experience is it might cost you more, but people don't mind paying more when the experience is superior. I mean, do you see that as well?
Well, absolutely. What we see, how we were attracted to these companies in the first place was we noticed that they were more profitable and sustainable compared to most other companies. Mm-hmm. And then we noticed that customers considered them better and different. And it's funny you mentioned Starbucks because they've been an experience company led by Howard Schultz since the late 80s and when he imported that experience from Milan, Italy, and said, hey, let's grow this. And it's I'm glad you brought that up because their customer experience strategy is for people to be their Starbucks to be their third favorite place to be other than home and work. And they want you to be comfortable. They want you to feel like you can go there. Right. And then all of a sudden people are saying, well, hey, $4, I'll spend $4 or $5. Now we're starting to see this in the retail malls. They want it to be a destination, not just come in and buy and go.
Yeah, so that's how I feel about Starbucks over the years. At first, I felt pretty guilty going and paying a little bit extra for a cup of coffee, being a tightwad accountant. But after a while, it got to be where that's what I like, and I'm going to go there. And even if I go to the drive-thru, which I think is very convenient now, I'm greeted in a different way. The people will talk to you. The whole experience, even through a drive-thru window with Starbucks, is superior to any other place I've been to as far as wanting a cup of coffee. Plus, their coffee's good.
Yeah.
But in addition, it is the customer experience. That's why I think I continue to go to Starbucks and pay over $4 for a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So what percentage of businesses are customer experience leaders, and where are the other companies? I mean, so give me an idea of how many people are superior at this and, how many companies aren't superior at this. I got a feeling it's probably like the split to me would be 90% would fall below standards and only 10% would meet the standards of a good customer experience, but I could be totally off base.
No, you're close. When we were interviewing J.D. Power and Associates, particularly a fellow named Gary Tucker, who was the vice president of Emerging Services and Global Services there, we said to Gary, what companies get this, given the definition that I just described? And he said, well, there's only three buckets. Mm-hmm. The first bucket is 5%, and these are worldwide, regardless of business type or size. Right. Only 5% of the companies are customer experience leaders.
Wow.
And they totally get it, and they dominate their industries. They are more profitable and sustainable, and they've pulled away from what I call the vortex of commoditization.
Right.
They're not going to market just with products and services where the levers are only price and maybe changing the message and changing the features. So that's 5%, and that's where you find companies like Netflix, Amazon, Apple, Starbucks.
Right.
We've got some San Diego. We've got iDrive Safely, Skinit. It's how they develop and deliver their services or their products. The next bucket is what we call the 25 percenters. Now, at the bottom of the 25 percenters are companies that they're willing to pay lip service and sort of be open to the idea that customer experience could bring value, and they might want to learn more. At the top of the 25 percenters are companies that they're not the leaders yet, but they know that it's a valuable differentiator, and they want to learn all they can to get into being into the top 5%. And they really understand the value and the fact that customer experience isn't easily copied. The last bucket, the third mm-hmm. bucket, and the only one left, 70%.
Right.
Basically, what J.D. Power and Associates told us was that 70% of the companies simply do not believe that customer experience matters. And this is in the face of competition that could be customer
wow.
experience companies, mm-hmm. and they've suffered the consequences, yet they still behave the same way, so they lose. And there's examples of these around today, and certainly we'll talk about which
right.
companies are in which buckets.
Let's go right into that. That's a good
okay.
segue. I love that vortex, getting away from the vortex of commoditization. Basically, that's my comparison to McDonald's and Starbucks, I think.
Yes.
And for my own little practice, it would be H&R Block versus a boutique tax preparation firm like mine, where people are, they better be treated better than they are at H&R Block. If they're not, I need to know about it.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they are. So far, so good. But that was a good explanation of that. So let's talk about some of the companies that are really good at this.
Well, certainly Apple is very good at that.
Right. Yeah.
And I think probably most listeners will know that. But it's not by accident that customer experience companies do what we call the 3Ds. They determine what the experience should be before they invest in the messages of marketing, training their people, designing the processes, and then the products and services. And they fine-tune the user experience by involving people who match up to the markets they want to serve. They actually involve them in the creation of all of these pieces on the customer continuum. So Apple is a stellar example.
Right.
Even the out-of-box experience, before you use the product is very important, and they fine-tune that. They have multiple language, documents and instructions either online or in the box. Another one that's up and coming, one to watch, is a company called Tesla. Now, Tesla is run by a fellow named Elon Musk, and Tesla sells an all-electric car. Okay,
right.
But and while this isn't about the fact that they're having an all-electric car, what they realized was that they wanted to give a great customer experience, but there was no information out there that people wanted to buy a high-end four-door high-performance all-electric car or any other car, regardless of its power. They didn't want the dealer experience. So what Tesla does is they sell the cars using consultative methods only. They're not, there's no high-pressure sales people, because that's what their people didn't want. They sell them at malls, and they realize that their market overlap with Apple's market, and so the people want more of an Apple-like retail experience, the Apple retail stores,
right.
but buying a car. And so this is one to watch, because they do the best practices in determining what the experience should be and setting that up. We all have to watch to see if they're successful. The interesting thing is they're starting to be successful, and a lot of the car dealer associations are actually trying to sue them and saying, hey, it's illegal for you to sell a car in a mall. But if people want a better car experience, and that's how they want to buy,
right.
So far most of the court rulings have been in the favor of Tesla, saying, look, if people want to buy a car in a mall and they want to have a nice experience, so Tesla's looking at the whole business model, not just we're
right.
selling electric cars.
Right.
And another one is a San Diego company called Skinit. and Skinit at skinit.com, and they make the personalized skins or covers for smartphones or PCs, other consumer electronics. And they're an online company, and they have really used the kinds of people that they wanted to engage in the development of their website so that you can personalize these things. And that's an interesting company to watch. And probably another exciting one to watch is a company called Square. Now, Square is very interesting. Not Foursquare.
I'm interested in Square.
Okay. Well, Square's interesting because I think a fellow named Jack Dorsey, the fellow who established Twitter, he created Square, and he likes things very simple. And the whole Square experience, what Square does for you, the do-fors, if you will, what Square does is it allows you, if you have a smartphone, it allows you to plug in their device in kind of the earphone jack and then easily take credit cards.
Scan through,
So now from a financial standpoint, you could actually be transacting in remote places, mobile places. But what's incredible about Square is before you're a customer, which is unique to the leaders of experience makers. The experience makers believe that your customer experience starts before you're a customer, then it goes to while you're a customer, and then after, so that you become an energized advocate. Square totally understands this. So when you, if you're not a Square customer, but you look on the website, you have a great website experience. Immediately, it tells you what the product or service can do for you. It's very easy for you to register. You know, you're not going to fill out form after form, and then in a couple days later, you get the Square device, download the app, which is extremely usable from a what's called a user experience standpoint, and now. As a smartphone owner, you can take credit cards. And that is actually changing. It's changing the way businesses transact. And so much so that Howard Schultz and Starbucks bought an interest in them, and they're now part of one of the offers. And then I believe one of the credit card companies, I think it's MasterCard, also bought an interest in them because they understand we have a mobile society now, and there's a large percentage of people who not just have wireless phones but smartphones. And people want to transact, whether you're a small business person and you'd like to transact to sell a Christmas tree right next to the where the Christmas tree grows. You know, my wife and I were in East County, San Diego, and we noticed, oh, you're using a smart device. They're taking our credit card right there. Is this the tree you want? I'm like, that's incredible.
That is.
So keep an eye on Square.
Square.
You know, Square is definitely Square and Tesla, I think.
And I have a question for you. Mitchell International, I see this is this San Diego company. What do they actually do?
Well, Mitchell International provides the software for automotive claims, automotive insurance claims. And Mitchell is rather an incredible company because they really do the best practices of customer experiences. They start with personas or profiles of specific customers or users or influencers, and then they design the software experience, their marketing messaging, the usual user experience around there. And they're right here in San Diego. They're a terrific example of a great customer experience company, and that's how they're different and more valuable.
Well, that's great. What are some of the specific best practices that these companies use that set them apart? So in, like specifics for Starbucks, one of the things I think they do is they always ask you if that's all you need or do you want anything else. I think little things like that go a long way. Well, what are some of the rules or some of the guidelines that these companies follow that put them ahead of the rest?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. You know, I think, first of all, I'd mentioned the 3Ds. They don't just develop, like Starbucks doesn't just make coffee and put it out there.
Right.
What they want to do is they want to look at all those pieces in the experience before you're a customer and fine-tune it, whether it's a website or interacting with their people. The other thing is they listen to their customers and their would-be customers very carefully. And for instance, a few years ago now, when Starbucks added music, and internet access, that was because people wanted that. You want bigger couches. You want different colors.
Right.
You want places to hang and relax, you know, that type of thing. So they do that, determine, develop, and then they deliver the experience. Another thing is that...
Determine, develop, and deliver.
Yes.
So the 3Ds, that's the 3Ds you're talking about. So determine what the customer wants.
Yep.
Develop what they want.
Yeah.
And then give them what they need.
Absolutely. Basically. Yeah, and they don't make investments they'll do investments experimentally in products and services, but they won't like build all that and then put it out there. That's the opposite. That's right. What a lot of companies do. Another thing is they understand what I call the do-fors. It's a little bit beyond the usual unique selling propositions or value propositions. The do-fors are really what products and services and people and processes do for people before they're a customer, while they're a customer, and after they're a customer, that they're willing to pay for.
Right.
And that delight them. Because the other thing is delight, because there's an emotional component, even in B2B, business to business. Mm-hmm. You know, some people think that because it's business, there's no emotion. No, sometimes there's more emotion because there's a lot more riding on
it. That's right. More money, maybe.
Yeah, money.
Money brings out emotion, no doubt about that.
That's it. So, yeah, those are some of the highlights of some of the best practices, and they're done by the small companies, too. So, and then other companies to watch are big companies like Microsoft, which right now they need to become relevant in mobile and they need to have a better customer experience along the continuum. So they're kind of 25%ers. Right now They'll pay lip service to it, but we don't know if they're going to go up or they're going to go down.
Right.
Sony, in February 2012, they had new leadership that declared, look, we have to go from a manufacturing-oriented company to a user experience company, which is part of the customer experience. The actual using of a product needs right. to bring pleasure and delight. And we'll have to watch them and see. And then Yahoo, of course, which you know in the last year or so has hired a number of Google people away. Google is a great experience maker company, no doubt. But we'll see. Somebody in the audience, Sean Vantine and I were speaking, and somebody said, well, have you seen a non-experience company actually become an experience company? And we haven't seen that yet. So, you know, we realized, well, let's watch Yahoo because they need to get the user experience right and then the customer experience. Can you get somebody on the phone? Are they sensitive to what the do-fors are going to be? So they're in the 25%ers. They're paying lip service to it. On the other hand, more recently, Nokia was a 70%er. They didn't get it since the beginning of 2007, since the iPhone came out, and we'll have to see where they go. But right now, you know, because of their track record, since their market changed, Apple and Google changed the smartphone market. And so start thinking about your market, whether you have a small business or a medium or big business. You know, is there somebody who could come into your market and be an experience maker, and then suddenly you can get marginalized or eliminated? Or what can you do to be driving that change and you know, be profitable and sustainable? And BlackBerry was the same thing. You know, that when it changed to experience with the people and the product and the processes, they just did not. So I still put them in the 70% area. And do I want some of these companies to turn around? Absolutely. You know, I'd love to be able to point to an example and say, see what, you know, this company did or that. And another one that we're probably all familiar with is Best Buy. Best Buy right now, I'm not thinking that they're getting the idea of customer experience.
Right.
I want them to, but I remember Blockbuster?
Yes.
All right, well, when Netflix came on and you know, it wasn't over too many years, basically, but put them out, finally.
Put them out of business, yeah.
We're looking at that kind of phenomena happening to Best Buy, and I'm hoping the Best Buy people understand now that the market has changed and how people buy and sell is changed, and it's not just because Amazon can sell more for cheaper. They really need to understand all of those processes and messages and all of that experience before people are customers. And so Best Buy is one where that's another company to watch to see if they're actually going to turn around or will they go away?
Right.
But they've already been marginalized. And if you're a really good experience maker, what happens is you notice you've marginalized your competition because they can't compete against you simply by lowering the price or adding more features or changing the marketing message. Because once people have a great customer experience, they want to stay with you.
Right. I think that speaks to management. I mean, that says a lot. Says a lot about Apple, says a lot about Starbucks. We're all familiar with Starbucks. But it's also interesting to see what companies just don't quite get it. I mean, like Best Buy and Nokia. And it's pretty obvious to see, kind of see they're kind of on the downward slope part of it all compared to some other companies that are still climbing. You just wonder what's going to happen in the long run. But I think what it speaks to is if you've got enlightened management, having to do with the customer experience. They understand they got to set themselves apart to make it a great experience for the customer in order to do more business, in order to get that advocate, that person out there that'll recommend
that
you over
advocate.
And over and over and over. That's even important in a small business like mine for tax returns. It's to get a, to get my customers to through word of mouth, get me more business.
Yes.
But, you know, mine's a little bit different. A lot of it's in the delivery of the bad news. People don't understand that a tax return is just a function of what you paid in. They don't quite get that. They think that, you know, why didn't I get as big a return last year as this year? Well, one of the reasons is because you claimed 20 dependents and you didn't pay any taxes in.
Right, right.
They don't understand. But it's something that I've got to do a better job of communicating. And through this, I think, you know, it's enlightened me for sure that I have to improve my customer's experience, you know, in comparison to all the competition out there. And that's why I like the book. That's why I like talking about this. So I really appreciate you coming in, Jeff.
Oh, it was a lot of fun. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
And,
thank you for having me on.
Yeah, it was just a great conversation. I'm fascinated by this. It's going to make me go read the book again. I recommend this book to anybody. It's The Customer Experience Revolution, and it's written by Jeffrey Bean and Sean Van Tine. If you get a chance, pick that book up. It's probably on Amazon and some other places, too,
yep,
right?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and then you can get it on Brigantine Media also.
Yeah, pick it up and read it. It's if you're in your own business, it's a must-read. That concludes today's show. If you have any questions or need help regarding taxes and any other financial needs, call me, Mike Lee, CPA, on 760-931-6789. That's 760-931-6789. Otherwise, I'll see you next week. I'm here every Monday from 1 to 1:30 p.m. This is Tax Strategies with Mike Lee, CPA. As you know, I end every show with a quote. Today's quote is, "The most important opinion is the one you have of yourself. And the most significant things you can say all day are those things you say to yourself." Thank you.